Another awesome day. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. Put it to good use. I went to the gym yesterday. Craig? Ooh.
No, I did not.
Bad boy.
I was a little busy yesterday.
You were, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
7:07 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yeah, Greg was a busy boy yesterday, hanging out with the governor and the new chief financial officer, Blaise Ingolia. And tell us what you learned.
Well, it's actually kind of exciting because, you know, anybody who has been around this area for a while, people live in or around Gainesville, know that, well, quite frankly, they rip you off all the time. gouging you with taxes, wasting money. And again, basically our state's, level of, or, you know, version of DOGE with our new CFO and good friend of the morning show, you know, Blaise Ingolia, going to be coming back to town and knocking on, the mayor's door going, it's time to look at the books.
Yes.
I love it.
And just, I'm going to keep putting this stat out. The city of Gainesville has increased property tax revenue from $36.6 million in the fiscal year 2020, okay, 6 years ago. The estimated tax this coming year, 2026, which will make it a six-year period, is estimated at $74 million. That is more than doubling the property tax revenue you just paid 5 or 6 years ago, doubling. What in the world have taxpayers received for the doubling? Did your pay double? Did the value of your home double? Did what? I mean, what could have happened for your taxes to be doubled in that short period of time? That's insanity, and that's one of the reasons why I'm sure Governor DeSantis and CFO Blaise Ingolia chose Gainesville to come in and make these announcements, and they're going to be taking their Florida version of DOGE around, and they're going to dig in.
Well, I mean, he's seen the stupidity with how they handle GRU. He's been in the middle of that over the last couple of years, so there's so much here that is so obvious in what most of the state, pretty good fiscal position, but man, you look at Gainesville as one of those, again, top two, Broward County and here, mm-hmm. first two on the list.
Yes.
What's that tell you?
And apparently, I think they're going to look at Tallahassee, I believe is on there too. Some people are saying, oh, why are they picking only blue counties and cities? I think you just answered your own question. Why? Well, because that's where they think they're going to find the most waste and fraud. And I would say odds are heavily in their favor. Ozzy Osbourne has passed away, legendary Black Sabbath rocker. Ozzy had a lot of influence, both in music, heavy metal music, shaped a lot of things. And then became a TV star for a while, too. A real little reality show that brought the cameras into the home, and Sharon Osbourne, she had her own career as well. She started out, she was just his manager, and she was thinking, yeah, you need like a lifetime manager. You need somebody to take care of you
all the time,
keep you out of trouble, yeah. Hopefully. Anyway, they've had a long and storied history together, but apparently was surrounded by loved ones. He's passed away at the age of 76. He was diagnosed, wasn't it, dementia, I think, was kind of coming on. But he performed as little as just 2 weeks ago, a farewell show. How did he know it was a farewell show? I don't know. I guess he decided he would not play any more shows after that point. But anyway, rest in peace, Ozzy Osbourne. Very interesting story that happened not too long ago. It's the story of the MRI machine and the guy getting sucked into it. I think most people are familiar with it by now. This happened up in Long Island. The guy was 61 years old. Now, it's alleged that the technician left like the booth to come out to ask him, Kevin McAllister, to help his wife, who was having some kind of issues. I don't know if it was to help her up or help her out or to comfort her at the machine. Again, you know, that's somewhat sketchy. But he's wearing a 20-pound chain. I am not exaggerating. a 20-pound chain.
Well, maybe he'd never been around an MRI machine. He didn't know they were magnetic.
No, in fact, they had been there previously. He, in fact, had that chain on previously. In fact, witnesses say that there actually was at least a short conversation that had to do with the chain, something along the lines of, wow, that's a really cool chain. Yeah, it's, you know, it's part of my weightlifting thing or part of my... Who would not know that they would have to remove that? I mean, look, we've had, since the 1980s, we've had, you know, MRI machines. And I think they've only had like a half a dozen, you know, bad accidents. Wow. That and they're used millions of times a year. So an expert had spoken out recently and said, look, if this thing, you know, was pulling on that chain when it got closer to the machine, it probably created almost like a velocity, like it strengthens, you know, as it gets closer. And they say it probably had the power to literally snap his neck. He says, if he was just holding on to that chain, I don't care how much of a weightlifter you are, you wouldn't have been able to hold on to it. The problem is it's not a regular magnet. It's not a regular piece of iron. It's an unbelievably powerful magnet and it's an unbelievably large piece of iron. And those two factors result in hundreds of pounds of attraction in the direction of the magnet. And when he got within a few inches of the machine, it could suddenly pull with such strength that it could have pulled sufficiently strong enough to snap his neck.
Now, it may be related to that, and I mentioned it to you off air yesterday. Somebody did a demonstration, and you don't have to be that close. I mean, they were like just tossing chairs that way or anything with metal, and it was just sucking them all in. It was crazy.
Well, it is apparently it's a giant monster.
Yeah, it is
in that way. He was pronounced dead at North Shore University Hospital the day after the bizarre accident. And the cause being identified as 3 heart attacks. Depending on the status of his health, yeah, he may have had problems with cardiovascular disease before. Right. But when the excitement, so to speak, happened, he could have had a heart attack just from the event itself. Now, here's the thing. The family appears to be trying to assign blame to the technician.
Right.
In charge. Like the technician. And I wonder if the woman was already done with the scan, which we still don't know, why was the machine still operating? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it works. Can you just flip a switch and it's completely demagnetized? That's what I thought, but I could be wrong.
I would think that there's still, even though you're not pushing that thing at full strength, the magnet is still there. I would think you still have some magnetism, if you would. But now enough to pull a guy in a 20-pound chain in? Don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's been used since the early 1980s as a, you know, diagnostic tool, and they have had really very few issues.
That's pretty amazing, really. But think about it. Between all the signs, and you've been through multiple MRIs as I mean, you are not going to get near that thing with metal without being asked about it, seen signs about it, filled out a form about it. I mean, you can't act surprised.
They're saying the technician, he forgot to inform him to take the chain he was wearing from around his neck when the magnet sucked him in.
This is what the family is saying in their suit.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess it could happen, but man.
It's one of those stories. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it interesting. Hey, it's 7:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Now it's your turn. You know, it's got to be something that's on your mind. It's just kind of irritating you. Well, the next segment's for you. We call it What's Bugging You? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So you just call in and you air it out. You get it off your chest and hopefully you feel better. What's Bugging You? 877-975-9825. Call in now. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. And it's a happy hump day, Trump day. But not everybody's happy all the time. Sometimes there's things that irritate us. What's bugging you? 877-975-9825. It's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. And Greg, what do you have that's bugging you?
Well, it's actually a sky traffic alert. Got that earlier accident we mentioned a few minutes ago, talking about Southwest Archer. And it's right there in the 5000 block. That's a little bit west of I-75. Looks like westbound lanes are blocked there. And looks like maybe a couple of vehicles involved. They may be there for a while. Try to avoid that area
sounds,
if you can.
Sounds serious. Yes, avoid it if you can. Good morning, Tan. What's bugging you?
Yeah, I've had a prescription sent to Walgreens, went to pick it up with my insurance card, and it was $117. So I had it transferred to Walmart, same prescription card for my job, $55. This is the third one I've had transferred to Walmart. It bugs me that Walgreens is charging double, even if you have insurance, then you can go to Walmart and get it for half price. So that's what's bugging me.
Well, yeah. And there's things like GoodRx and other discount cards that you should try to utilize. And yeah, you need to shop around. But yeah, sometimes that transferring stuff can turn into a little bit of a mess, but you've done it and it's worked for you. That's great.
Well, sometimes having insurance, they do charge more because they can.
It's such a
it bugs
the
you,
whole thing
it?
Bugs me.
Yes.
Big Mike, good morning. What's bugging you?
Good morning, my friends. Well, I tell you, it's been a glorious week hearing the Commander-in-Chief tell my Redskins they need to get it right. What's bugging me is they ain't got it right. So come on, Redskins, let's get this thing back going the right direction. And God bless America. God bless you guys.
Right on. God bless you, Big Mike. Mark, what's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob McGregor. What's bugging me is while I appreciate DeSantis's opening the books, that sounds a little too close to a study. I want to see actions such as elimination of redundant personnel and useless departments. I want to see action because I'm right on the verge with this property tax stuff of having to clock out of Florida. All right, have a good day.
All right, you too. Yeah, we're the governor was here. We'll see. Duda, man, what's bugging you?
Yeah, first off, I need to apologize for the phone fiasco yesterday. But anyway, what I was calling about is since Assad moved to Moscow and there's a power vacuum in Syria, the guy Jolani moved in, he shaved his beard, put on a suit, called himself a moderate. But there is a systemic elimination and killing of the Druze and the Christians in southwest Syria going on right now.
Yeah, and it's not getting a lot of attention. So, at least you brought that up again, and people need to look into that. 877-975-9825. Call in now for what's bugging you. And good morning, Jen. What's bugging you?
Good morning. I'm recently in the market for a vehicle. And, of course, you have to pick through a lot of bad ones to find the good ones because right now I can only afford a used car. But what gets me is the absolute dishonesty that I have been struck with. I called Lakeland Toyota, and I said, do you have the car? Because, obviously, not everything that's online is there. Oh, we have the car. I drive 2 hours one way, and nobody can find the key. Really? Are you kidding me? And then I looked at another vehicle. They said, never been in an accident. And this I happened to look at was a van. And I'm like, but there's Bondo behind the door, dude. How did that get there? So, it's just straight dishonesty that bugs me. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah.
It is. I used, I thought Car Gurus is an online tool that's kind of helpful.
Yeah.
Now, that really only helps you get a price and miles and you get an idea. You've got the Carfax, so you can find out if it's been in at least a serious wreck. Somebody, anybody can put Bondo on something and cover it up, whatever. It may or may not be of a serious nature, but the dishonesty and the hiding, and yeah, come on down, we'll take care of you, and then it is nothing close to what they promised, and they lowball the price, and then they add on all these ridiculous, crazy fees, and then they wonder why, you know, people find this whole situation just completely unpleasant. Completely unpleasant. It's like a long-going migraine headache.
Yeah.
And all I can tell you is if you find a company and a person specifically that, you know, that treats you right, man, stick with them. Tell all your friends about them. Because it is, and Greg shopped for a million cars, only bought like 10,000 of them. But you know, I know you've experienced your headaches with that.
It is frustrating, and I know when I lived in St. Louis, and I'm kind of the same way here. I've got two or three guys at different places that I know I'm going to go, and if they've got what I want, I'm going to buy a car from them. Are they going to make money? Yes. Are they going to gouge me and just send me on my way? No. They're going to take care of me after if I have a problem. Again, that relationship. But yeah, it's the fees and the lack of transparency and honesty. And I've told friends that work in car dealerships, because I've got friends still in the business, like, I don't know how you can even do it, of the things they make you do before somebody can get out the door with a car. It's crazy.
Look, if somebody puts a price on the car and the only other thing you have to pay literally is the tax and the tag.
Well, that's shocking.
Those are the kinds of people that are legit. Now, if they say right up front they have a dealer fee and they tell you right up front exactly what it is, that's
fine.
Okay. That's okay too, if you're comfortable with that.
But you don't hide stuff to the last minute.
Yeah. What a great deal this is. And then they come up with, you know, $1,200 or $1,500 worth of fees.
On a good day.
Well, and especially if it's used, because it's like, if I'm paying $40,000 for a, you know, for a new truck and there's $1,000 fee, I might not like it. But it's $40,000, so the percentage is low.
So that's,
but if you're getting you're getting a used car for $8,000, and they want to tack on $1,000, that ain't right.
No,
that just ain't right. Deal with it appropriately, my friends. Talk with your cash. Talk with your money. 7:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Thanks for participating in What's Bugging You, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. Coming up, we'll have a chit-chat with our friend, Congresswoman Kat Kamick, coming up in about 35 minutes right here on 97.3 The Sky. Oh, it's going to be another awesome day. Let's do our part to make it that way, right? How about a little courtesy? How about a, hey, how you doing? Here's one.
Okay.
There's a little lever on the left-hand side of your steering wheel.
Yeah.
That's called a turn signal.
Hmm.
Try using that. Oh, and by the way, try using it when you're more than, say, 18 inches from the actual turn.
Oh, if it was still what's bugging you, that's one of mine.
Why not let people know
what
you're doing, where you're going?
They're turning the steering wheel before they turn on the stinking blinker.
Yeah.
I did see a bumper sticker.
Maybe that's what they're doing. They're accidentally hitting it.
You know, you're probably right. That is a pet peeve. Or the other thing, like when we go to our neighborhood, it's off of a busy street, but there are lots of shrubs and trees that are in the neighbor's yards right there. So you can't just make a quick turn. You don't know if somebody's parked there, people walking their dog. The people behind you that you've tapped your brakes, you've hit the turn signal plenty ahead of time.
Yes.
And they are still barreling up your tailpipe. We have so many near misses. I mean, if anybody ever hits one of our cars rear-ended there because of their stupidity, it ain't going to be pretty.
Oh, I'm not just talking about the damage to the car.
Yep.
You don't want to unleash the Greg.
No, you don't.
Because he's got a whole team with him at all times. It's the same thing. I mean, I live off a road where the speed limit quickly goes from 35 to 45, 55 to 60.
Yeah.
Right about the time it hits 60 is where my turn is coming up.
Oh, no.
And
you've got your turn signal on, right?
Well, these people have driven through town slow. They can't wait to get on the road where the speed limit's higher.
Yep.
And I always use my turn signal and well in advance because
people
do come barreling down. They ride your butt.
I know.
And it's like,
they don't back off even though you're slowing down and got your signal on. They're still moving full ahead.
And it's like, oh, I'm in this smaller car. You're in this big truck. Well,
doesn't matter.
Dude, you know? If you hit me,
yeah,
you better kill me.
Yeah. Otherwise, it can be bad. But yeah, I just don't understand why people can't. Of course, then there's the bumper sticker I started to say. It said, turn signals, question mark, why inform the enemy of your plans? And I think that's how some people drive.
Well, you know what that's based on. Not using a turn signal for a turn. That's using a turn signal to change lanes. Somebody sees that you're going to change a lane and be slightly ahead of them. That's unacceptable.
Yes.
And they try to close the gap.
I know.
That's where that comes from.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Because you're being courteous. Because maybe you need to turn in a block and you're going to scoot out. But it's like, yeah. People are so defensive.
And they drive that way in areas where, like in Gainesville, you're not getting anywhere.
No.
There's no getting ahead.
Or you can even see the red light ahead.
Right.
And they won't let you do the thing.
Right.
Oh, no.
Now, look, nobody wants to be stuck behind. Oh, here's the other thing. The big 18-wheelers, the big trucks.
Yep.
This really came of age during COVID because a lot of the rules changed and things. Truckers, big 18-wheelers, side by side on a two-lane road.
Oh,
side by side.
Going the same speed.
Well, they go up to the traffic light.
Yes.
They both start slow. Yeah. One might inch up 5 inches and the other one back and forth. It's like, get out of the
way.
Hunter Biden left lane.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, one more since we're on the rant. I've mentioned it before. Coming up to a red light. And the right lane is empty.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody from the left lane cannot let there be one car in front of them. And they're going to go straight. So they jump to the right lane and block all the people who want to make the right turn.
Well,
because they want to be first in line to go.
And I have an answer for that. Okay. And I try to be courteous. If I see somebody with the turn signal like behind me, I'll switch lanes to give them that opening.
And I've had people do that for me in the
mornings. However, put a turn lane in.
Well, that's
put a turn lane
but
in
we can't
so
fix that
traffic can continue on to make their right.
But that doesn't change what the driver is doing as being
wrong.
True. So, but no, I agree. Or we were talking about Gainesville. Have you seen left turn lanes as short as you've seen in that town in some of the shopping centers? I mean, like three cars.
Yeah.
So now traffic is backed
you're
up.
You're blocking
the
another
lane.
Through lane.
Yes. It's like, what were they thinking?
I know what they were thinking.
What's that?
There's actually a former city planner or whatever who wrote a book. And in the book, this was Gainesville.
Yeah.
This goes back a couple of decades or so. He wrote in the book, Dom Nazi was his name.
Maybe you got it right the first
time. You can look it up. And he basically says, congestion is good.
Uh-huh.
It's good. It forces people out of their cars to walk, to use public transportation, and to ride bikes.
We can't all do that.
Well, clearly it was written before he ever had children or that thought process where, not everybody can take, Johnny to his karate lessons and Susie to her, piano lessons, and then stop by the grocery store and try to make it home with, any kind of frozen food. I mean, it's nice if you can do that, if you choose to do that. But no, this is the penalization of leftyism, progressivism, or whatever. If they can't force you to do what they want, like ride the bus, they will just make your life painful. And that's exactly and precisely what they have done. The other thing is they just refuse to build, any new roads. I mean, that's obvious.
Well, I was talking to a sky caller here just a moment ago, and a good point. He's a pilot, but it's like, once you get your license, it's like there's never any reminder of rules, regulations. How about courtesy, common sense? It's almost like you really need to send some of these people back to camp, I think, and get them retrained.
Yep. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skyline. Shep, you're on the air.
Well, you guys know what I do for a living, and I have come to a conclusion. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or any other kind of ist, but you have to understand that a lot of these people, regardless of their economic circumstance, they have such poor, sad, pathetic, unfulfilled lives that they feel they have to do a Remy Julien or Joey Chitwood impression. And I'm really showing my age, ain't I? Mm-hmm. All right? See you later, guys.
Yeah, I guess that's part of it.
Yeah.
But people are just completely self-absorbed. They're selfish. Into the phone.
Yes.
They're, yeah, it's all about them. Yep. I mean, I've tried to like back out of a parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody's like frustrated. Look, if I just put it in reverse and I hear a tap on the horn, thank you.
Yes.
That means you're approaching and you see my reverse lights and you know you're not going to or can't stop at that point.
But you're halfway out of the parking spot.
When you're halfway out of the parking spot and they're like beeping and trying to get around you.
No, just
like
wait.
You're in a parking lot. You're not on a road. You're on a park. You know. Parking lot.
Uh-huh.
We're here to park.
Right.
It's not a driving lot.
No, not a freeway, highway.
Yeah.
No. And then you're opening up a spot for someone else. But again, you know, we're using common sense, courtesy.
It is a shame so that these things seem to be disappearing. So let's all kind of do our part. President Donald Trump's signature tax cuts and spending package is driving what the administration is calling CAPEX comeback. CAPEX. As businesses utilize provisions in the new law to invest in areas that will drive productivity and growth in the future. Who was it? Just Japan? Just recently announced? How much are they going to invest? Is it like over $500 billion?
Yeah,
like is that right?
I think it's a lot, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's good.
Crazy good.
Absolutely.
Trump Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, Republican lawmakers, included a provision in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that allows businesses to fully expense capital expenditures, CapEx. Did I say CapEx? CapEx. Anyway, going forward. And this can be used apparently like retroactively to the start of Trump's term in January. So this is going to be another big thing. Businesses are going to benefit from that.
Nice.
The consumer will benefit. The American people will benefit. Greg, are you tired of winning?
Absolutely not.
Neither is Trump. Neither are we. It's a good thing, and it's a good day. Hey, let's make fun of Stephen Colbert when we come back.
Oh, wow.
7:40.
Show's only on till 10.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll keep it short and fun and direct.
All right.
Easy to harpoon.
Yeah.
7:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, 97.3 The Sky. Yeah, I make jokes about how much or how little I make.
Uh-huh.
I think we all have.
Sure.
But Stephen Colbert, he sounds like a whiny little ass.
Oh.
7:51 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Thanks so much for supporting what we do. We appreciate it, and we appreciate it very much. If you approach and you say hello and you say, you know, things like, hey, I appreciate what you do. Mm-hmm. That resonates with us.
Yeah, it does. Means a lot.
And that appreciation works both ways. So thank you. And December will be 24 years.
Man, you were 12 when you started in radio here. I'm telling you.
No, I already had a couple of gray hairs, actually.
Yeah. Now, Bob, I got to cut you off here. Because, I mean, you're mentioning Colbert.
Yeah.
Colbert. Sounds like cheese.
Stevie Colbert.
Yeah. I mean, come on. How do you expect a guy to get by on $20 million a year? I mean, really? I mean, you know, he's got a lifestyle to while his show is losing money to maintain.
Apparently, some estimators pay between $12 and $15 million.
Oh, that's even worse.
I heard it was $16 million. Okay. How do you get by? Look, whatever the market will pay. If you're a professional athlete this team wants you and they're willing to foot the bill, then it's all good.
So unlike
none
the
of my business,
unlike the WNBA.
Well, yeah.
Which should owe the NBA money.
Yeah,
for what they've lost.
Like $400 million they'd owe them over the past so many years. Yes, that is interesting. But, yeah, Stephen Colbert, to kind of go on and whine about it.
I know.
And it's like, how do you get to that position, and you've made that much money, and you have such a lack of understanding of how the business actually works? I really don't think he knows how the business of broadcasting actually works. I don't think he does.
And then these other late-night guys are getting – I mean, they're probably risking their careers here too with the networks, because they are getting rude calling out management. I mean, they're really making a spectacle of this whole thing.
Well, you know who's not bellyaching? The guy that's actually beating all of them. Greg Gutfeld and his show Gutfeld.
Yes.
He is number one. Colbert tried to say he's number one. That is a lie. Gutfeld is number one. And if you figure how many fewer homes
that
Fox is in versus CBS,
it's millions. That's incredible.
It's literally millions of homes that Gutfeld doesn't even have an opportunity to get into because they don't, for whatever reason, have Fox. So it's not number one by a wide mile. And so he doesn't, somehow he, that escapes him, which anybody who's performed in this medium of TV and radio understand what ratings are. They understand, they should understand demographics. I mean, I don't know how you could be in the business for any period of time and not have some understanding for it. So he actually admits how much his show is losing, but he still calls the decision to cancel his money-losing show confusing.
There's nothing confusing if you're losing money. You cut bait and you run.
But that's not what he's saying.
Oh, my.
He says, yeah, it's confusing. A lot of folks are asking that question, mainly my staff's parents and spouses. Ha, ha, ha. Well, over the weekend, somebody at CBS followed up their gracious press release with a gracious anonymous leak saying they pulled the plug on our show because the losses were pegged between $40 million and $50 million a year. And he doesn't dispute that number. It's not like he said, and that just can't be true. Uh-huh. No. So what is confusing? They're losing 40 to 50 million a year.
It's math. Come on.
And you're saying, he's saying that it's not purely a financial decision, which is what CBS said in a press release.
How much can they afford to keep losing for what gain?
And why? Yeah, why? You're not
why
in the
you?
Business to lose money.
No.
The fact that they've taken those losses for some period of time, you'd have to examine why they wanted so badly to have him on the air, to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
If this show lost money, Greg, we'd the dead air would occur.
Sunny in 73, would you like fries with that? I mean, that's going to be, you know.
That's your next gig.
Yeah, I know.
Mine's laying on the beach.
Yeah.
And begging for food during the day.
Well, yeah, I'll have a sign out in Gainesville. We'll talk for food.
You'll have to sell some of your guns if you want to survive. So how high do the losses have to be?
Yeah, really.
Before Mr. Swarmy Unfunny Man, which I thought was pretty funny, Nick Nolte writes Nick Nolte. John Nolte writes for Breitbart.
I think the same thing sometimes. Yeah.
He doesn't comprehend it.
That's crazy.
And I know, look, he's got a small but a loyal group of followers.
Sure.
How dense are these people? Are you really worried about him in some way?
Yeah.
He's made multiple millions of dollars over multiple years. Are you really worried about him when you're Joe Sixpack? When you're struggling to make ends meet? You're going to shed a tear for this loser, bozo, idiot, spoiled little
who still won't spend
Hunter?
The money to get that ear fixed? Come on!
Spoiled little Hunter.
Oh, watch it now.
Hunter
watch.
Hunter now takes the place of any cuss word. I'll just say Hunter instead.
Yeah. Hunter you.
He's a piece of Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more going on next on 97.3 The Sky. We'll talk to the Congresswoman.